Today on Real Life Radio.
Young people today need to be able to stand for what's right and for what's wrong. You guys, Jesus called it being salt and light. Jesus also said, when you do that, you're going to be hated for my name's sake.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2. Christians on campus will face a whole lot of challenges both inside and outside the classroom. And this is why it's so important to stay deeply rooted and grounded in God's Word. You see, as we learned in Part 1, many Christian students lose their faith by the end of their fourth year in college. The reason is, well, they're constantly being bombarded with temptations and attacked for their biblical beliefs. Many are targeted and ridiculed by the so-called revisionists who rewrite history to promote their own belief system. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
How do you make kids? I'm not going to get into the details of that tonight, but how do you make kids? This is a very serious thing, because if you're in a sociology class, you got to figure this one out, man. In a sociology class, trends can really upset your science, okay? Because, listen to this, Genesis 1:21 says, so God created great sea creatures and everything living that moves with which the waters abound, according to their kind. Hello, that's amazing. The Bible says according to their DNA. He made sea creatures according to their DNA, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its DNA. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, of the fish and over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Ordered reproduction is how a species continues after its own kind. A male and a female come together. A heterosexual intercourse encounter between a male and a female cannot happen if the species move away from that God-ordained appointment and a male try to reproduce or a female and a female try to reproduce. This is a very serious thing. Human sexuality and humanity is a big deal, because what you need to understand is something that, frankly, you're not hearing about in schools. Or maybe you are, but in an interesting way. You guys want to put that slide up? I think this is from Mount SAC. I think this is from Mount SAC. Anyway, this is a public school book, local university campus, college campus. It's going to be hard to read. Okay, a growing body of research suggests that sexual orientation is innate or rooted in human biology in much the same way that people are born right-handed or left-handed. That's a claim in a school book today, from a classroom today. You read that and you go, And then you just read on and ask what's for lunch. Right? Only problem is, President Bill Clinton commissioned a U.S. Army study in his first year of his presidency to determine if homosexuality is something that you're born with. Because a lot of people are saying that today. U.S. Army Research Laboratory came back and said, there's no evidence. In fact, the only evidence that we have found is that a person who does participate in homosexual sex, there is a mark genetically or biologically that forms from the exchange of the same proteins, which biologically, I'm not talking theologically or I'm not talking any other way, biologically, if you are monogamous, just in scientific application, forget about marriage, if a male and a female are the only ones that are with each other, it's just them, for a protracted period of time, their immune system is actually increased in strength. When you get two females or two men together in interaction, their immune system goes on hyperdrive, which results in a dramatically lower life expectancy, and that's proven by the European Union. Over 10 years of information shows that homosexual conduct shortens your life. See, what's your point? My point is you can't have humanity. If you're an evolutionist in here tonight, you need to think. This is serious. You see, the issue is a sexual choice or preference is made, not science. It's a choice. Bible says it's a choice. Science says it's a choice. But that's not what you're hearing on the campuses today. You just read that a moment ago. But how will our kids know the truth unless they research hard the evidence? Very serious stuff. Stuff that nobody wants to talk about, yet it will destroy a culture. Number 8, freedom versus tyranny. You say, how? Oh, Pastor, now everything, okay, we got everything so far. Freedom versus tyranny on our campuses? Oh yeah, very interesting. Socialism. When's the last time you're on a college campus? Socialism's huge. You say, Jack, I was in college in the 60s. It was big then. The only difference is you were on drugs back then and it protected you from hearing and applying socialism to your life. You were on LSD. You didn't learn a thing about socialism. Socialism is a big deal. Anti-God's a big deal on college campuses. Anti-American statements and sentiment is big on college campuses today. Freedom's under attack. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God. That means live an excellent life. See, what does that have to do with freedom or tyranny? My friend, you can't live an excellent life if socialism were to take over. Everyone is brought down to the same level. No one's allowed to exceed or excel. You can't excel in Russia. You can't excel in China. You've got to stay down among the ranks. Same number, same clothes, same car, same look. Everything. And the moment somebody pops their head up above the radar, in fact, you say, man, you're being mean right now. I tell you what. You look at the cultures of the world who are free, and you will find the greatest scientific and medical, sociological achievements and a standard of living that rises above. I like the way Ronald Reagan put it. He said, America's like a city on a hill. That's only true if we embrace freedom and endorse the fact that anyone sitting in here tonight can live an excellent life to the glory of God, and you can create Microsoft, Apple Computer, and the things that this nation has been blessed with. God loves freedom. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God loves freedom. And do you see this nation, by the way, on your campus? Do you hear about it on your campus? Does anybody on your campus say, America, you should love America? Now, I'm a Christian. I love heaven, God first, all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, if you see that God has given you something that's good, don't you want to defend that and promote that and endorse that? I love the fact when you meet foreigners who are moving here, they're immigrating here, and you talk to them. What do you like? Why'd you come here? I love America. I couldn't wait to get here. Those of us who were born Roman, you know what I mean? Paul says, I was born a Roman. If we're born Roman or if we're born American, we have a tendency to take all this stuff for granted. And that's why today, as our freedoms are being plucked from us, we don't really defend them much because it's like, what, huh, what, what? A lot of the freedoms we have, we don't even know we have. So you don't care if they go away or not. You have freedoms still to this hour that are absolutely amazing that the rest of the world longs to have. It's pretty amazing stuff. Hey, let's, we don't have a slide for this. I want to read you something. Rasmussen poll. Quote, in a recent poll, Americans 30 years of age or under college campuses were asked which economic system works better, a capitalistic or socialistic economic system. Capitalism scored 53%, 47% of those polled said that they were either not sure or believed socialism was better. Adults over 40, listen to this. Do you guys hear that sound? That hurts. Ah, thanks. Adults over 40 years of age heavily favored capitalism, and only 13% of Americans over 40 believed in socialism would possibly be better. Those who were self-employed business owners and or investors said capitalism is better by a 5-to-1 ratio. You say, what did they bring this up for? Because what's very interesting, and if you're on the college campus, you believe in socialism. Give it to me. I don't want to work for it. Just give it to me. And then what happens between 30 years of age and 40? I'll tell you what happens. You buy a house. That will sober you up really quick. You get married. That's another biggie. Probably have a baby or two or 2.11 or one point, whatever. You know what? It's amazing what happens to people. Don't we all know them? Were we not them at one time? Hey man, come on, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Party on! He who dies with the most toys wins. Let's grab all the gusto we can. And then something happens. You meet her, or you meet him, and fall in love, get married. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can pay. Exactly, I was going to say that. You pay. What's a bill? A bill. We got to pay these bills. Who are those men knocking at our door? Did you pay the bill? We got to pay bills. We get pregnant. We have a baby. And I have seen the most interesting people, and I'm putting it nicely. When the baby comes out, their whole world changes. I got to get life insurance. Where's this kid going to go to college? He's 30 minutes old. And the dad goes, where's he going to college? What do we do? Come on, we got to save. It's amazing. Some of you are going, that'll never happen to me. Just wait. Between 30 and 40, something happens. It's pretty amazing. Freedom. This nation was founded upon the pursuit of freedom.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And we saw last Sunday how much of a Christian nation this once was. Number 9, we're almost done. Biblical Christianity versus an Antichrist philosophy. All over campuses today. You stand up on a campus and say you're a Christian, you're going to get laughed out of class. By the way, I told you before last week, some of you thought I made a mistake. I do not think that you should walk into your classroom at school and say, hi, everybody, nice to meet you. First day of class, my name's Jack and I'm a Christian. You're insane if you do that. Don't do that. Walk into class and say, hey, everybody, my name's Jack. Sit down and zip your lip. And because, listen, you ask God, God, open the door for me to share my faith to whom you appoint. Because you will be casting, as Jesus said, the pearl before swine. They don't get it. They don't understand. And when they think Christian, they think of the kooks on so much of Christian TV. This guy's a nut. Let God open the doors. Don't knock them open. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Isn't that a great word? That's 1 Timothy 6:20-21. Amazing. And then finally this, number 10, we'll end here. Being a Christian and being on campus, doing what's right versus doing what's wrong. This concerns me, and I saved it for last. Can you imagine, listen, everybody, can you imagine going anywhere in public today? And again, I'm not talking about being a real wacko, weirdo, but can you imagine being in a class and somebody says, you know, what do you think about this video we're about to show in class and this man beats up this homeless man in a wheelchair and takes his $3? Let's talk about that, class. You will hear the most insane things you can imagine. Somebody who says in the class, what that guy did to that homeless man is wrong. Now you got the class going. Wrong, can you define wrong? What does wrong mean? Humanistic situational ethics blends the lines so that if you were to make a judgment call on what is right or wrong, you'll be pounced upon. Because who made you a judge over us? Well, it seems to me that that guy raping that 11-year-old, that's wrong. Well, what you don't know, smarty pants, is that he had a very difficult upbringing. Oh, I see. Oh. But the same group will quickly turn around and tell you how wrong it is for you to believe in God. I told you that Noah Webster defined insanity as a mind without God. Consider this equation for a minute. What we are plus what we do equals who we are. You can't separate it. Here's a quiz. If a man steals a horse, when does he become a horse thief? Now, that'll cause a class to be derailed for a year. If a man steals a horse, when does he become, when does he become a horse thief? Well, according to the law, the moment he stole the horse is when he became the horse thief. Okay. I can't be arrested for what I'm thinking. We'd all be arrested. But the moment I express my thoughts, now I run the risk of being arrested or beat up. Or if you look at my name on the internet, cussed at and cursed at. And so if a man steals a horse, when does he become a horse thief? Well, according to God, the reason why he stole the horse is because he is a horse thief. You don't become a horse thief when you steal the horse. You steal the horse because you're a horse thief. Where does that come from? Right there. You say, I don't like that. You're hurting my feelings. I know, listen. God says all of us have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Why are you going to go do what you're going to do that offends God? Because it's in your heart to do it. You don't do it and then go, oh my gosh, look what I did. No, you are calling her up and saying, can you meet me there? Why? Because it's in the heart. The young people today need to be able to stand for what's right and for what's wrong. You guys, Jesus called it being salt and light. Jesus also said, when you do that, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. Jesus says they're going to try to beat you for this. You say, I don't believe in God. Well, how about thinking about that for a minute? Jesus says, take a stand for me, you're going to get beat up. I don't believe the Bible's true. I'll tell you what, you want to test it? Stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and God loves all you. And watch how many times you're going to have to duck. Isn't it amazing? Spiritual stuff. Okay, we end right here. Isaiah 5:20. Woe, the word in Hebrew is destruction is en route. Destruction's coming. Woe! Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Paul said in Ephesians 6, therefore take up. How do you stop that stuff? How do you contend against a culture that's gone? Paul says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means know what the Bible says and live it. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that means know how to tell people the good news. Above all, take the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fire, not some of them, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, that's a reference to Satan, and take the helmet of salvation, protect your thoughts and your thinking, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Christians, young Christians today, I want you to stand. If you're on a campus, I want you to stand as we pray for you. Do you go to school? Stand up. Stay standing. We want to pray for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. You go to camp, you go to school. Are you a teacher? Why don't you stand up with them? We're going to pray for you. Listen. God bless you guys. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them and we're done. Father, we ask you to bless these that are standing right now. Father God, I tragically confess I would not want to be in their shoes today because of the realm in which they are infused into. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father God, that you'd galvanize them against a godless culture. Father, that you'd make them the absolute best student in every way in their classroom. May they shine so bright as teachers, administrators, or students themselves. Shine so bright, be people that would actually be so attractive to those that are around them for what is right and true and holy and just. God, that people would have to begin to ask their lives, what's with you? Father, encourage them as they're bombarded. And Lord, not only the burden to learn and to give the right answer or to give the answer they're looking for anyway, but to be able to discern what is right and wrong and what is in error versus truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that those that are standing, there's enough of them, that as they're infused back into their campuses in the not too distant future from now, that Lord God Almighty, you would absolutely radicalize them for the love of God. Father, that their rooms, their classes, wherever they go, wherever their feet go, that they would leave behind them a wake that brings you honor and glory, that people would know. You know, I don't necessarily agree with them, but they're lovers of people and they're lovers of God. Father, bless them now, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 2. We're glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Hey everybody, something that you should know, that in our church and in our media community, in the social media community, we have for decades as a church started every year off with the reading of the one-year Bible all the way through. So I'm encouraging you to join us and do the same. If you are not one of the tens of thousands of people that are actually on the same page with me, with my wife Lisa, with the church and beyond, the entire Real Life audience and beyond, get a copy of the one-year Bible and get started with us on January January 1st. You can get a copy for yourself at jackhibbs.com, but by all means, please do this. And listen, get one for your friends or your maybe a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. The one-year Bible, through the Bible in 1 year together. Join us.
That's the one-year Bible, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.